May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be holy and pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and redeemer. Amen. If you ever walk around the old city in Jerusalem, you'll find a lot of commemorative plaques all over the place. Now it is primarily a Jewish and Muslim city, but you'll still find markers of various Christian sites and points of pilgrimage, places that people have visited again and again to remember and walk in the footsteps of Jesus. It can become a little overwhelming to find a site commemorating every moment, every single moment that people think of where Jesus ate, slept, walked. There are at least two sites commemorating the Last Supper because it is hard to know with any sort of confidence as to where the exact site is. There is also the Via Dolorosa, huge plaques with Roman numerals that mark the walk that Jesus made toward Golgotha, toward his crucifixion. Yet it is also well known that that might not be the exact path he took. Regardless, there are a lot of moments throughout that walk where you realize that you are commemorating an event, even if it may not be the right path. Now, the gospel for today is unlikely to be commemorated. This scene with the Canaanite woman isn't exactly Jesus' finest hour. Jesus in this gospel is harsh, unforgiving. It is not the Jesus we often remember, not the Jesus of the Good Shepherd who cares for all the sheep in his fold, not even the Jesus filled with righteous anger. Today, Jesus comes across as slightly ethnocentric, as slightly unforgiving in the face of someone who comes from a different cultural background than his. And yet, what we remember in the gospel today is also a Canaanite woman who remains unnamed, a clever, unrelenting woman who knows what she needs, knows what she is asking for, and who goes up to Jesus with nothing to nothing that she will not do in order to get what she needs. In our gospel passage today, we see a woman who remembers, maybe remembers more clearly than Jesus, the promise that has been made in his name. She remembers that her people are part of this promise. After all, if you look at the beginning of Matthew's gospel, you'll see that there are various Canaanites named in the genealogy of Jesus himself. Various Canaanite women, including Tamar, the wife of Judah, the son of Jacob, and Rahab, a woman of ill repute in Jericho, who hid the Israelite spies on their way into Canaan, and Ruth, the faithful Moabite, who followed her mother-in-law, Naomi, even after the death of her sons, a woman who bound herself to the fate of the Israelite people, not because she had to, but because she chose to. It is a strange thing today to face this nameless woman who, in her only moment in Scripture, in her 15 minutes of fame passed down through generations, has the audacity to remind Jesus of his purpose, why he is here. Not just salvation to the lost sheep of Israel, but a blessing to all those who are dispossessed. It's an important thing to remember clearly, to remember one's history clearly. When I look at this story, the way that this woman reminds Jesus of the promise, I think of the various ways we memorialize our history. I think of a monument that was standing just a few days ago in the middle of Durham. that was erected in 1924 in memory of the boys who wore the gray. It was erected at the time of what was known as Black Wall Street in Durham, just a block away, a thriving hub of black business in the height of the Jim Crow era. Next door to that was the Haytai neighborhood, another thriving hub of black enterprise, which received praise from the likes of W.E.B. Du Bois and Booker T. Washington. There are about 100 Confederate monuments in the state, 5 on the Capitol grounds, but there are no monuments for the slaves that built the state on the Capitol grounds, no monuments for the interracial reconstruction movement of the 1860s, no monuments for the interracial fusion movement of the 1890s, thwarted by Jim Crow segregation. No monuments for the civil rights movement, which included such towering figures as Ella Baker, a major organizer in the South. No monuments to Polly Murray, the first African-American woman to become an Episcopal priest, and who also happened to be a lawyer, whose book on states' laws on race and color was called The Bible of the Civil Rights Movement by another Episcopalian, none other than Thurgood Marshall, the man responsible for arguing the Brown versus Board of Education case. It is important for us to remember our history clearly, and it is a challenge for us to memorialize it in a way that tells the story that we'd rather not remember. This, my friends, is not politics per se, simply a call to remembering rightly, not partisanship, but faithfulness to the witness of the saints that have gone before us, the kind of faithfulness and persistence that the Canaanite woman demonstrates in our gospel today. I was walking through the streets of Nazareth once after spending some time in Old City Jerusalem. Today, Nazareth is a primarily Muslim city, and I was walking through the streets at night with a couple of other Episcopal priests after visiting the big churches that memorialized the Annunciation, sites that memorialized all of Jesus' footsteps, and we stumbled upon a small Anglican church while we were there. It happened to have its doors open because it was time for choir practice. So we walked in and we introduced ourselves, met another Anglican priest there in the town of Nazareth, in the Holy Land. And I noticed right behind the altar, right on the wall behind the altar, that there was an inscription in Arabic. I asked what it was, and I was told that it was a verse from Isaiah. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free and proclaim a year of the Lord's favor. Those were Jesus' first words in a synagogue in Nazareth. And I was reminded once again of the scope of the vision and mission of this man Jesus of Nazareth. Do we remember the gospel command clearly? What will it take for us to remember our history clearly? After all, the call is not just to remember rightly, but a call to remember, to put together the body of Christ again. Not a call to tolerance, but a call to selfless love. This, my friends, is no condemnation for us, but an invitation. Are we willing to listen to that call? I pray that we are. Amen.